Carrie Playwrights Forum Radio Play Contest Entry Number 4, The Black Spectre, A Trail Grown Cold by Roger Alford. This play is an adaptation of one of the many stories found in the Black Spectre novel series created by Roger Alford.
Born into a wealthy family, young Brent Gregor's life was shattered one fateful Halloween night when an intruder's bullets killed his father, put his mother in an asylum, and left him in a wheelchair. Young Brent became a brooding recluse, locked away forever alone in his family mansion. When he reached adulthood, Gregor spent much of his vast fortune searching the world in vain for a cure. His far-reaching efforts led him to an old gypsy woman who offered a fantastical proposition. By joining with a mysterious entity known as the Spirit Force, Gregor could summon it when needed to not only walk again, but to harness phantom-like abilities, superhuman strength and agility, the power to hide unseen in the shadows, move objects with his mind, and easily pass through locked doors. In return, he vowed to stand for the righteous, to fight evil, and bring justice to those who have none. Now!
Like a ghost, he moves through the shadows of the night, bringing evildoers to their just rewards. When criminals and lawbreakers are marked with his signature X, they know there is no escape from the Black Spectre.
Tonight's thrilling episode, A Trail Grown Cold. As our story begins, it's the dead winter in Terminal City. Daily Crusader reporter Vicky Rose has sent a secret message to that daring vigilante, the Black Spectre, asking him to meet her. As his mysterious black sedan pulls up in front of the Crusader building, she rushes out through the snow to join him. Listen.
I think the snow's getting worse.
Where are your gloves?
Left them in the office.
Here, let me warm you. Please, take my cloak.
Oh, that's much better. Thank you.
Now, what can I do for you tonight, Miss Rose?
I want to ask you a favor.
Of course. Anything you need.
It's for an older woman, Mrs. Guilford. She works here at the paper. It seems some friends of hers might be missing. I mean, they could be, or they could be perfectly fine. She's just not sure.
How so?
Antonio and Katrina Comito. He used to work here at the paper, in the press room, until he was let go last fall. They were getting pretty desperate. That is, until Mr. Comito heard about a job, through a man, a friend of his. The job was in St. Louis, where he could set up his own print shop. Mrs. Comito thought the job sounded too good to be true. But her husband was so excited, he told her not to worry. She thought it was odd, too, because the man insisted that she go along. The day they left, the man brought two other men with him to help them pack. They've been gone for over a month, and Mrs. Guilford hasn't heard a single word from them.
I see. And who was this man who offered the job?
Vincenzo Sacala. Mrs. Guilford described him as a squat, tough little man. Mr. Comito knew him through his fraternity, the Sons of Italy?
I'm vaguely familiar with the Sons of Italy. They generally help new immigrants, but I have heard of a member or two with ties to the underworld.
Mrs. Guilford said that Sacala always claimed to be a businessman and investor, but she didn't think anyone in the order knew exactly what type of business he was in.
And did you find him?
No. Seems he left town the same time as the Comitos. I've got a picture of them here, plus a few notes of my own. I checked the train schedules for the date and time they left. There's no southern train for St. Louis in the evening. The only way they could have gone is north, but I'm just not sure where. If they took the 510, that one heads up to Minot. Minot is almost the same distance as St. Louis, so it could be they got off there.
But there's nothing in Minot except a ski resort. Not the ideal place for a print shop, especially this time of year.
I know it's not much to go on, and it could even just be nothing at all. But Mrs. Guilford is really worried. As I said, they've been gone over a month, and Mrs. Comito had promised to write just as soon as they got settled. Mrs. Guilford doesn't have any way to contact them, and no one else has heard from them either. I'd just like to do whatever I can to put her mind at ease.
Of course. I shall always be at your service, Miss Rose. I'll be in touch when I have something.
We've arrived at Union Station, sir, but before you get out of the car, I must ask you again. Are you sure about this?
Relax, Worthington. I've spent 3 days working on this case, and I don't see any other solution. If I just follow the path that the Comitos took, I'm sure to find something. I've realized that I don't usually do this type of legwork, but I just don't know what else to do.
But what if you're recognized?
Listen, I thought this through very carefully. In less than 5 minutes, I'll be on a train in my private room, completely out of sight of anyone who could possibly recognize me. My tickets are booked under the name Milo Duran.
Quite an appropriate pseudonym, sir. And I do say that with your father's glasses and 3 days of beard, you do look quite different, but...
I promise I'll only come out at each station. With this dreadful weather, I'm sure no one else will want to get off the train. It couldn't be more perfect.
I'm afraid I don't show your confidence, sir.
What is it, Worthington? You've never been shy about voicing your opinion before.
I'm afraid, sir, that your fondness for Miss Rose may have clouded your judgment.
It's getting late.
May I at least implore you to take the chair, sir? I took the liberty of placing it in the boot.
No, I most definitely do not. That would only make it even more difficult to remain incognito. I'll telegraph you tonight when I arrive in Minot.
Dear Lord, I pray for once that the blind may not see.
Everything in your compartment, do you like it, Mr. Duran, sir?
Yes, it's quite satisfactory, Mr. Baldwin. I've just one more thing. By any chance, do you recognize these two? They likely took this very route just a few weeks ago.
Sir, I can't say that I remember seeing these folks. We get a lot of people ride this here train. Hard to remember any of them specifically, except for the regulars.
I understand.
Wish I could be more help, sir. But I tell you what, you need to check with Drexel Haynes.
Oh?
Yes, sir. Drexel works down in the club car. Don't hardly nobody come on this train that she don't see. Folks gotta eat, you know. And that girl got a good memory for faces. If they've been on this train, I bet for sure she remembers them.
Could you ask Mr. Haynes to drop in when he gets a moment?
Oh, I'm afraid not, sir. Drexel can't leave the club car till she gets off duty, and that won't be till the end of the line.
Well then, it looks like I'll be eating out this evening. For your trouble.
Why, thank you, sir.
Thank you, Baldwin. You've been of great assistance.
I'll tell Drexel you'll be seeing her. And you need anything else, Mr. Duran, you just ask.
All off for Aurora Falls!
Tell me, ma'am, has this couple been through here in the last few weeks?
And who might you be?
Mr. Duran, a private detective. My card.
Funny, your picture's the spitting image of Andrew Jackson.
For your trouble.
No, sir. Can't say that I have. Next!
Are you certain?
As the nose on my face.
Would you mind just looking once more?
Yes, I'm sure as the nose on my face.
Very well, then. Thank you. Well, that didn't go very well.
What may I get for you, sir?
I'll have the turkey club sandwich, a bowl of stew, and a cup of coffee. Oh, and I'd like to ask you about a couple of passengers that might have been on this train a few weeks ago.
Yes, sir. You must be Mr. Durand, the fellow Baldwin said was coming. Yes, sir. I think I do remember these folks. They didn't say much. Seemed to be uptight about something. Didn't eat much either. Like they were afraid. Sat in that other booth about 2 rows back. They were with another Italian fellow. He didn't seem all that friendly.
Do you know if they rode all the way to Minot?
That I couldn't say, sir. I know they went as far as Quincy. They went right back to their seats after they finished eating. I'm pretty sure that's the last I saw.
Thank you. You've been of great assistance. At least now I know I'm heading in the right direction.
for your trouble.
Well, thank you. Very generous, sir. Anytime I can be of help.
Brent?
Why, hello, Vicky.
Oh, my heavens. I almost didn't recognize you. I actually didn't know it was you until I spotted your ring. Do you want me to leave?
No, of course not. Why? Why do you ask?
Well, judging from the surprised look on your face, I figured that was the most polite of the 7 questions that came to mind.
7 questions? Really? Go ahead. You may ask me anything you like.
Okay. I've already asked 1. So, 2. Where is your wheelchair? 3. Are you growing a beard? 4. Where is Worthington? 5. What are you doing in the club car among us huddled masses? 6. Why are you riding in the private car with the other swells? Which is basically just a repeat of number 5. And finally, 7. Why on earth are you traveling incognito?
All right. 1. As I already said, no. I certainly don't want you to leave. In fact, I'm very happy to see you, as always. 2. I had the porter put my wheelchair away. Sometimes it makes the other passengers uncomfortable.
Yeah, yes, of course.
3. I may be growing a beard. I haven't decided yet. So if you don't like it, please don't hesitate to tell me so. 4. No, Worthington is not with me. He's back at home. And even though you didn't ask, I'm going up to Minot on personal business. This was something I needed to do on my own.
Well, that was only 4 answers. 5 if you count the question I didn't ask, which I don't, of course.
I said you could ask me anything. I did not say I would answer all of them.
Excuse me, is there anything I can get for you, ma'am?
Anything she likes, Miss Haynes.
What's that? A turkey sandwich? Sure, that sounds good. Oh, and anything chocolate.
I'll see what I could do.
Unbelievable.
What is it?
Oh, nothing. I'd always imagined our first dinner together would be someplace more upscale.
Our first dinner?
Of course. Now that you mingle with us commoners. But that may have just been wishful thinking on my part.
Well then, after we get back, we'll have to do just that.
Rather presumptuous, Mr. Gregor, don't you think? Why not, huh? Can't imagine what you'd be doing all the way up there. You know there's only 2 reasons people go to Minot. And I don't see any skinks.
It's personal business.
So you said. Sure you don't want to tell me any more?
Yes, I'm certain.
Have to always keep digging, you know. Reporter's instincts.
May I ask what you're doing here? Hot on the trail of another big story?
Actually, no. This time I'm just doing a favor. I'm trying to find this older couple. Got a friend who hasn't heard from them in a while. Thinks they might be missing. Could turn out to be a story, but this one time I hope it doesn't.
Did you talk to the police?
Of course. But you know me. I just can't sit still. So I decided to do some digging on my own.
Here you are, sir. And for you, miss. Chocolate milk in the tallest glass I could find. Just for you.
Oh, you are godsend.
For your trouble. Thank you.
Thank you very much, sir.
Oh, Miss Haynes? By any chance, sorry, Brent, do you remember this couple being on the train a few weeks ago? Probably the same route.
Yes, ma'am. I sure do.
Would you happen to know where they got off? Did they go all the way to Minot?
I really couldn't say, ma'am. I know they at least went as far as Quincy.
Is that the next stop?
No, ma'am. The next stop is Janesville. Quincy is about an hour after that.
Thank you so much. And for the chocolate milk, too. I think I have something in my purse.
No bother, Vicky. Very much appreciated, Miss Haynes. I'm sure you saved her a good bit of legwork.
Now I know for sure they didn't go to St. Louis. But the question is, where did they go? And with who?
So, what do you do now? Check at each station?
Exactly.
Next stop, Janesville. All off for Janesville.
Don't tell me you're leaving.
Don't tell me you're not relieved. Not to worry. I'll be back. Just have to call into the office.
Why don't you join me in my compartment for the rest of the trip? I'm in car 10, room A. It's much more comfortable. You'll find it quite enjoyable, I'm sure.
No, I don't doubt that a bit. I'll be there in just a few minutes. You want me to tell the porter to get your chair?
Oh, no bother. I'm going to stay here a bit longer.
Janesville, now arriving, Janesville.
Oh, gotta run. Mwah. Excuse me. Could I use your phone? I need to call my paper. It's an emergency.
Right over there, miss.
Yes, operator, connect me with Terminal City, please. That's right. I'm trying to reach Frank Mattson at the city room of the Daily Crusader.
Hello?
Denny? What on earth are you doing answering? Never mind. I've only got a minute. I need you to find out why Brent Gregor is going up to Minot on secret business.
What? I thought you were searching for that missing couple, the Comitos.
I am. I've got a pretty good lead on them.
All aboard, now departing for Quincy.
But Brent Gregor is on the train too, and he's traveling up to Minot incognito. I need you to find out what he's doing up there. He's invited me to his compartment.
His compartment?
I'll call you back in an hour.
Come on, miss, we're pulling out.
Oh, thank you. That was close. Sir, could you please radio ahead to the next station and ask the station master to put a call into this number when we arrive? I need to talk to my paper as soon as we get there. It's very urgent.
Yes, ma'am. My pleasure.
Oh, by the way, do you know if Mr. Gregor has returned to his room?
Mr. Gregor? As in Smithson and Gregor, the catalog store?
Yes, car 10, room A.
Oh, that's Mr. Durand in room A.
Mr. Durand? Are you sure?
Yes, Mr. Milo Durand. He's the one in room A. I'm not aware of Mr. Gregor on board. He always travels by private car. Shall I check for you?
No. That's quite all right. My mistake. And car 10 is this way, correct?
Yes, ma'am.
Very good. I just need to run back to my seat and get something.
Very good, ma'am. You need anything else, you just let us know.
Yes, Mr. Durand? What else can I get for you?
Please, Baldwin, come in and close the door.
Chilly. Warm enough for you, sir?
I have a very important request. I'm having some trouble with my legs. I'm afraid I'm going to need a wheelchair when we reach Minot. Pay whatever you must. The rest is yours. It's much urgent.
Should I call a doctor for you, sir?
No, it's just an old back injury, actually. But I would really appreciate it if you kept this under your hat. I'm expecting a young lady to join me in a few minutes, and I'd much rather not involve her. If you have any news, just nod. I'll know what you mean.
I'll do the very best I can, sir. I promise you that.
For your trouble.
Thank you kindly, sir. This has sure been the night for tips.
Oh, there you are. I don't worry, you got lost. I hope you don't mind my borrowing your book. I've been wanting to read this one myself for the longest time.
And I thought I was the only one. You keep it. I won't have the time to read it after all. I ran into a friend in the club car. Actually, he's invited me to join him in his compartment.
Oh, no wonder you need your suitcase.
Oh, it's nothing like that. He's just a friend.
Well, from the sound of things, this is your chance to be more than friends,
Oh, I don't know about that. You see, I already have a boyfriend. His name is Denny. He's great, actually. Always there. Never pushes me to get married. Not anymore, anyway. Gets a little jealous sometimes, but he's very dependable.
I see. Well, this Denny sounds like a nice young man.
Yes. Yes, he certainly is. Well, I have to say, this is quite the spread. I mean, it's no suite at the Lexington, but it sure beats the daylights out of riding in coach. Do you mind if I take a peek at the laboratory?
No, go right ahead.
Now this is more like it.
I'm glad you approve. Please, make yourself comfortable.
I may have to get Frank to pony up the next time I travel. Though I sincerely doubt that has a snowball's chance.
Well then, you'll just have to call me and I'll take you wherever you want to go. Would you care for anything? Some wine, perhaps. I can ring for the porter.
No need to get me drunk just yet.
Of course not. So, any luck with the station master?
No, nothing.
Well, that was expected. We know they at least went as far as Quincy. We'll be in there in just another hour.
Right. So, tell me again. Why a bit of skullduggery, Mr. Brent Gregor?
I wish I could tell you, but as I said before, it's personal.
Very personal, I think. Any chance it could involve a young lady friend?
As I said, it's personal.
Well, how lucky for me that we both ended up on the same train. Don't worry, though. I don't write for the society page.
A lucky coincidence indeed.
So tell me, you ever see Constance Van Broman?
Constance?
Well, you're an eligible bachelor, and she's very eligible, from what I hear.
Well, I know Constance, of course, but I'm not seeing her. She's much more interested in the artistic type, painters specifically.
How about Elsie Smithson?
She's a little young, don't you think? Besides, she's practically my cousin, and I haven't actually seen her in years.
She's not that young. What about Gloria Lamont?
Not hardly.
Why not?
How do I put this politely? Let's just say I'm not her type.
What do you mean? What exactly is her type?
She'd be more interested in someone like Constance. Or you.
Oh. Oh!
What makes you so sure it's someone from Lakeview Heights? For someone who doesn't work the society page, you sure know who all the members are.
I can read too, Mr. Gregor. I just don't write for the paper, you know. Louisa Crocetti.
The mobster's daughter?
Come on, the DA's son, the mobster's daughter. It's the stuff musicals are made of.
Now that's a very interesting guess. You deserve extra points for creativity on that one. Honestly though, I can't say that I ever met her in person, but I will admit she does appear to be rather attractive.
I suppose.
Giving up already?
Hardly, Mr. Gregor. I'm just getting started.
Where are you now?
Quincy. It's chilly in here. So, did you find out anything?
No.
Listen, see if you can find out anything about the name Milo Durand. He's using it as an alias. Oh, and find out what Constance Broman is up to, or if any other socialites are out of town. Except Gloria Lamont. Never mind about her. You think he's meeting a married woman?
What?
Why sneak off to meet someone who's unattached? Why all the secrecy? So it has to be someone who's already involved. You might have to check with Leonore. I'll call you in another hour.
I'll be at home.
Okay.
Vicky, what does any of this have to do with finding the Comedos?
Don't worry about it. It's just a side lead. Just a little something to keep me occupied.
Sure there's not some other reason?
No, of course not. And don't forget to call Leonore.
Now wait just a talk.
10-1 says he doesn't do it.
Yes, sir?
Could we get a couple of blankets and a pot of hot coffee? I'm sure the lady will be quite chilled when she returns.
Yes, of course, sir. Let me set this table up for you. I'll have the coffee and blankets as soon as the lady gets back. I'm afraid I ain't had no luck on the wheelchair yet, sir, but I'm still trying.
Good man. I certainly appreciate it.
Evening, Miss Vicky. Come on in where it's warm.
Thank you, Baldwin.
Getting colder out?
Yes, quite. I know it's freezing outside, but it's like this chill is everywhere I go. You'd think the Black Spectre is following me. Oh, it's snowing again. The conductor is worried we might not make it to Minot.
I'm feeling a bit of a chill myself. I took the liberty of asking the porter to bring us a couple of blankets and some hot coffee.
Oh, my heavens. That's wonderful.
So, any luck this time?
Nothing. I suppose that's good news. Or at least I hope it is. I hope you don't mind if I nuzzle up close to you. I've got such a chill.
Not at all.
Here you are, sir. Back with those blankets and a nice hot pot of coffee. Let me wrap those blankets around you.
You are a saint.
Oh, you're very welcome, ma'am. Now for the coffee. Cream and sugar?
None for me, thanks. Just straight and hot. Unless you've got some brandy.
Not on me, ma'am, but I'll be glad to run get you some.
No need. This will be just fine. Bless you.
Now you just call me if you need anything else.
So that leaves just Metcalf and Minot. Metcalf is such a small town, as I recall. I'm willing to bet they rode all the way to Minot.
I'd say you're right. A lot of people go up to Minot. I hear it's the perfect place for a secluded, romantic getaway. Especially a secret rendezvous, free from prying eyes. Wouldn't you agree?
That's what I heard as well.
I've also heard that Julia Davenport has been known to travel up there a time or two. Well, she lives near you, doesn't she? Oh, she's quite lovely, don't you think?
Ah, so we expanded our theory to married women now. Interesting. I believe that she and Cecil are traveling in Europe right now.
Oh.
Come on, are we skipping right over the obvious one?
And who would that be?
You know, Abigail Wentworth, my former fiancé, the woman who broke my heart, as Leonora likes to put it in her column.
Too obvious. Besides, I was trying to be polite.
Appreciate it.
Margot Cadelli.
Margot? If anyone deserves to run around on her husband, she certainly does. I felt sorry for her ever since they got married.
Poor thing. And to think she left France to be married to him.
You're going to have to do better than poor Margot.
Don't worry, Mr. Gregor. I'm just getting started.
Do you really see me as some sort of gigolo, consorting with a married woman? Frankly, I'm quite surprised by your theory. I'm trying to decide whether or not I should be offended.
There must be some reason for all the secrecy. Perhaps not married, but still in a relationship of some sort. Something to justify it all.
Well, at least that makes me sound less of a scoundrel. Perhaps out to steal away the heart of some fair damsel. Certainly has a more romantic flair, wouldn't you say?
Maybe I'm going about this all wrong.
Oh, and how's that?
Instead of naming off all these women and watching your reaction, I think the better question is, what kind of woman would make you spend days cooking up this disguise, leave Worthington behind, and travel all by yourself all the way up to Minot, hiding out among the commoners, using a false identity? One thing I know for sure, she sure must be pretty special.
That, Miss Rose, is your first correct guess of the evening.
You sure you want to get off the train again, miss? It's terribly cold out there.
I'm expecting a phone call from my office, but thank you.
You be careful now. Last thing we want is to have you fall getting off this train.
I will. Thank you.
Afraid I still ain't had no luck finding a wheelchair, sir, but I promise you, I'm doing my level best. Just ain't the type of thing people have sitting around.
Of course. Your efforts are greatly appreciated.
Mr. Durand, sir, I know this ain't my place to say, sir, especially seeing how we just met and all.
It's quite all right, Baldwin. Go ahead. Speak your mind.
Well, I was just thinking, sir, there's a whole lot of truth hiding going on between the both of you. When you love a woman, you gotta be honest with her. Me and Mrs. Baldwin been married 32 years now this June. You can't get there the way you two have been carrying on.
Love? What? No, I'm afraid you misunderstand.
I see the way you two have been looking at each other. All I can say is this. You got a private room and sharing it with a beautiful gal like her. You try being more honest and you might be able to do more than just talk.
Metcalf! All off for Metcalf!
You must be that reporter gal, eh?
Yes, I'm expecting a call. Whew, there's that chill again.
Sorry to tell you, but the phones are down. Bad storm out, you know. No calls going in or out. But I did get this telegram from your office.
Oh, it's from Denny. Milo Durand, fake detective, Lincoln murder 10 years ago. Stop. No connection to BG. Leonore says you crazy. Stop. Wow. Can't believe he actually had the stones to call Leonore. Very impressive, Mr. Morris. Huh. Fake detective, Lincoln murder. Well, I assume we're not talking about President Lincoln. just one more thing. By any chance, do you remember if this couple came through here a few weeks ago?
No, can't say that I've ever seen them. Not a lot of folks get off here, you know, especially now that winter's set in. More likely they got off in Minot.
Well, thanks anyway. Still got a few minutes. I can check with some of the passengers again. Excuse me, ma'am, but by any chance...
Miss, you've shown me that picture at every single stop, and every single time I've told you no.
Well.
Lady, you mind if I take a look?
Sure. Have you seen this couple before? They came this way a few weeks ago.
No. Never seen them before. Don't think they came this way at all.
Are you sure? I just want to know they're safe. They have friends and family who are worried. Are you sure you can't tell me where they are?
Yeah. I'm real sure. I don't know nothing. You got that? Nothing.
Yeah, I got it. And I see your gun, too. But please, just tell me where they are. Are they alive? Please, I need to know.
You better get moving now. Don't want to miss your train. Be extra careful when you get up to Minot. Snow's pretty bad up there.
Yes, of course. You don't have to follow me, you know. I can manage just fine on my own.
Just want to make sure you get back on board safely, miss. If you get my meaning.
Yeah, I get it all right. See? I'm getting on board now. That's funny. He was just here. What in the tarnation? I guess he threatened me enough after all.
Leave me alone. I didn't touch her, I swear. Something's got me. I can't move. It's picking me up off the ground. I'm floating in the air.
Who are you?
I'm Rocco. Rocco Antonelli.
Where are they?
Who? What are you?
Like a ghost, he moves through the shadows of the night, bringing evildoers to their just rewards. When criminals and lawbreakers are marked with his signature X, they know there is no escape from the Black Specter.
Where are you? How am I floating off the ground?
The couple the reporter was asking about.
I don't know. I swear. All I know is they took the train to Minot. They took a car from there. I don't know where they went.
Let's try this again.
I swear to you, I'm telling the truth. I was just on my way back from taking some supplies. I don't know what. I wants to live, so I don't ask. You hear me? Whoever's calling the shots, he likes to keep us in the dark.
And who's calling the shots?
Some guy named Sakala. Don't know who he is. Never heard of him before. I swear.
Vincenzo Sakala?
Yeah, I think so. But that's all I know, I swear.
You're wasting my time.
Look, I ain't the only one who knows about the reporter. My contacts up in Minot, they knows all about it too. They're waiting for her. She ought to back off if she knows what's good for her. Oh, that was my train.
I know.
Brent, are you in there? Are you okay? Brent, can you hear me? Maybe I can pick the lock with this hairpin.
Is everything okay, Miss Vicky?
Oh, my heavens.
So sorry. Didn't mean to frighten you, ma'am. I have a message for Mr.
Do you have a key to this door? He doesn't answer, and I'm worried that something might have happened to him.
Let me go check with the conductor, miss. You just go back to your seat for now, and we'll get this all taken care of. And here's your hairpin.
Please, I'd much prefer to stay. I was only trying to make sure he's okay.
Everything's going to be just fine, miss. I'll come get you as soon as we've got it all straightened out. Promise.
Wait. What was the message?
Ma'am, I'm afraid that's private.
Of course. Then I even thought about trying to bribe Baldwin. But I don't have a cent to my name, and he's a millionaire. That's when I finally asked myself, what on earth are you doing, Vic? This man doesn't deserve this. I mean, I even got poor Denny to help, for crying out loud.
Oh my! Who knew all this was going on? Far more excited than this old book. Sounds like we stopped. Think it might be the snow?
If something's happened to him, I just don't think I could ever forgive myself. And if he's okay and he knew all that I was doing, he'd never forgive me.
Sounds to me like you're really stuck on this fellow.
What? No. No, I don't think so. I suppose, maybe.
Listen, dearie. If there's one thing I learned in all my 48 years being married to my Harold, is that you've got to be honest.
You're right.
Of course I'm right. Maybe if the two of you had been more honest, you wouldn't have spent the whole trip in a private compartment just talking the whole time.
Okay, ain't that one. Let me try this one here.
Excuse me, why have we stopped?
Just a little snow on the tracks. We'll be along momentarily.
I sure hope he's okay in there.
Yes, let's hope so.
Got it. What the devil? Let me get that window closed. What on earth?
Oh, my heavens. We need to do something. Go find a doctor.
Don't you worry, Mr. Arden. I know just how to handle this. We got to get him warm. Help me set him up. Just glad Miss Vicky wasn't here to see this. Let's get these blankets around him. Then I'll go back. I'll come back with a hot water bottle.
How in the world could such a thing happen?
That window must have come open on its own, and poor Mr. Durant couldn't get it to shut. I'll get it checked out after we get to Minot.
I still think we should check to see if we have a doctor on board.
Oh, no. Hot water bottles will help. I'll be just fine. Thank you both. Much appreciated.
Very good, then. Baldwin, you get this man whatever he needs.
Yes, sir. You can thank your Miss Vicky especially. She's the one that let us know something wasn't right. I'll get you some hot soup, too, and let Miss Vicky know that you're all right. She was worried sick.
So Vicky was here?
Yes, sir. I come by here to let you know that I done found you a wheelchair, sir. Looks like you'll be needing it now more than ever.
You did?
Yes, sir. They'll have it waiting for you at the station in Minot. Lucky for you, they got a mental hospital up there.
Had no idea.
Me neither, sir. Guess they like to keep that quiet for all the well-to-do folks that like to go up there. Miss Vicky wanted to know what your message was, but I told her it was private.
Here, have some more soup.
Please, I'm already had two bowls now. I'm getting quite full. I appreciate the care, but really, you don't have to feed me.
Let me feel your hands.
Okay.
Oh my heavens, you're still freezing. Well, we both know I'm no nurse, but maybe we can find you a doctor in Minot.
I'll be fine once I warm up.
Here, just lay down and relax. Let me tighten those blankets. Mwah.
Did you find anything about the Comitos?
Yes, I did, as a matter of fact. I didn't think so at first, because the phones were out, and Danny had even had to send me a telegram. Anyway, there was a man in the depot. He had a tie pin with his name on it, Rocco. He threatened me with a gun to stop snooping around.
What?
Now it's your turn to stop worrying. Not the first time that's ever happened. Nothing like a good threat to make you sure you're on the right track. All part of the game.
Aren't you worried there'll be more of them?
No, of course not. I've got my guardian angel looking over my shoulder. I can't wait to get to that depot in Minot. I'm sure the station master will point us in the right direction.
What would you do when you find them? These people are clearly dangerous. I'm sure there's a lot more of them.
Call the sheriff, of course. But we have to find them first.
Now arriving Minot. All off for Minot. End of the line.
Will you be all right from here?
Yes, of course. They'll have me off the train soon enough, I'm sure.
Mwah. Good. See you later, then.
Do be careful, Vicky.
I'll just have to keep an eye out for her.
I got the wheelchair waiting in the depot, sir, but I'm afraid it's going to take a bit to get a ramp moved over. Don't you worry none, though, Mr. Durant. We'll get you off this train just as soon as we can.
Actually, that's just fine, Baldwin. Just take your time. I'm not in any hurry.
Ma'am, the powder room is the next door down.
Tell me, do you recognize these people? They came through here a few weeks ago on this very train.
Oh my, let me see now. Why, they do look familiar. Now that I think about it, I do believe I saw them. They were with two other gentlemen, big, tough-looking men.
Did you speak to them by any chance?
Oh yes, just to her, actually. She seemed very anxious. Asked about the using the telephone. Was very quiet about it, like she didn't want the other men to hear. But they were quite impatient. One of them rushed over and took her by the arm, treated her like she was a lost child. So she didn't get to call anyone. Never even gave me the number.
Did she say anything else? Who she wanted to call or where they might be going?
No, I'm afraid not. The big fellow who took her by the arm said she could use the phone at the farm, but that was it. Then they were out the door, and that was the last I saw of them.
Do you have any idea where this farm might be?
Sorry, no. If I had to guess, I'd say they probably took a car headed west to Haymarket. Not much else the other way except the mental hospital.
A mental hospital? You don't say.
Of course, there's any number of farms past Haymarket and beyond, so I'm afraid there's just no telling where they ended up. Won't be much longer before those roads will be all snowed in. Won't be able to get much past Haymarket till spring thaw.
Thank you so much. You've been a world of help. Remember what I said about your compartment being no suite at the Lexington? Well, this beats the tar out of the Lexington any day. 6 rooms? A fireplace in each? So much better than my closet down the street. Denny would just die if he knew I was staying here.
I just couldn't have you stay in that logger's cabin.
And I couldn't be more thankful. Now, let's see how you feel. Oh, my heavens, you're still cold. I hope you don't come down with pneumonia. Do you need another water bottle?
I think you need to phone the desk.
Well, give me that blanket, then. Here, hold me tight. That'll help warm you up. Better?
Much.
Brent, I'm afraid I have a confession to make.
Oh?
You probably already know this. I mean, I'm sure you figured it all out, but I wanted to tell you anyway. This whole trip, every time I got off the train, I was calling Denny to try and learn who your mystery woman is and why you're trying to keep it a secret. Like I said, I'm sure you already knew, but I just don't want you to think you can't trust me, that's all.
Thank you. I can't tell you how much your honesty means to me, or thank you enough for all you've done tonight. I suppose you want to know about Milo Duran and the Elmer Lincoln case.
What?
I know you, Victoria Rose. I know you've had that boyfriend of yours digging through the archives all night.
Yes, you're right. Guilty as charged. So, tell me, what made you pick that name?
I solved that case. I was the only one who thought Lincoln was guilty. I did all the research and presented my evidence to the sheriff, but he just brushed me aside and said to leave police work to the police. Then he used my evidence to arrest Lincoln and took all the credit.
But that was over 10 years ago. You were only...
13. That's why the sheriff never mentioned my help. Couldn't have the police department shown up by a young boy in a wheelchair.
So typical.
Lincoln was an attorney. My father knew him. One night, he murdered his wife and her brother. Then he pointed all the evidence towards a fictional suspect, a detective he named Milo Duran. Almost got away with it too, but I figured it out. So there you have it. Milo Duran was the detective who didn't exist. That was me.
Well, that is truly fascinating, I have to say. But you still haven't told me why you're traveling under an alias. Oh, you know, it just feels strange to me, driving a man around. I hope you don't...
Oh, not at all. I don't even know how to drive, actually. It's quite refreshing to sit up here for a change. I'm just so used to always riding in the back.
Right. Of course.
So, any luck with the general store?
No. If they came through here, they sure didn't stop. This was our best chance for a lead. I knew that if they stopped here, we might actually have a chance of finding them.
Is there another store further down?
She said there's a little post office in Crawfordsville, about 40 miles up. If they get any mail up here, that's where it'll come. If the road is clear enough, we should be able to make it.
It seems highly unlikely to me that they will bring the Comitos all this way just to... dispatch them.
I hope you're right, but who am I to dispute the instincts of Brent Gregor, ace detective, already solving crimes at the young age of 13?
Don't make me regret having told you that story.
Well, that's just great. Now we're stuck, and we were almost up the hill too. Rats! Sorry for the outburst.
No need. I can think of no less of an appropriate response. We're so close. Why don't you walk up there and talk to the proprietor? And then when you get back, we can concern ourselves with getting out.
I can't just leave you down here by yourself.
I'll be perfectly fine, I assure you.
You're certain?
Absolutely.
Now I can just focus my energies, summon the spirit force. I'm still weak from being stuck out in the snow, but I should be able to get us out of here. There, my ring is glowing.
Brent! Oh my heavens, are you okay?
Yes, I'm perfectly fine. It was just a little slip, I think. Probably easier to get out now.
Scared me half to death.
Gave me rather quite the surprise too, but I'm completely fine now. So, any luck?
No, everything locked up. Completely closed for the winter, not a soul there. Ugh, we've been driving around all day. There's hundreds of farms out here. Wherever they are, it doesn't look like we're going to find them.
I'm sorry, Vicky.
Oh, what's this? Oh no, now your nose is bleeding.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Here, I've got a tissue. Let me get that. Okay, I think I got it. Let me see. Ugh, I really need to get you back. It'll be getting dark before long. You hang on to this in case you need it again.
Thank you.
Okay, let's just hope we can get out of here. Would you look at that? We made it. Okay, let me see that nose again. Yep, looking much better. I think you're gonna be just fine, Mr. Gregor.
Thank you. I owe it all to your fine nursing skills.
Much better than the first time, that's for sure. At least I did something right today. Maybe the sheriff will have better luck. Of course, I can't be the only one who's disappointed.
Oh?
Yes, you came up here on personal business, but you spent every moment with me instead. I'm sorry if she canceled on you.
Well, I wasn't going to leave you in the lurch. Aside from our distinct lack of progress, I can honestly say that things worked out for the best.
Right. I never did find out who she is.
It wouldn't be gentlemanly of me to say, but perhaps you just weren't looking hard enough. I think you'd be quite surprised to learn just how close to the truth you were all along.
Don't get me started again. Even so, I just can't thank you enough for all you've done, being so selfless.
Wow, that was quite a kiss.
Yeah.
Is something wrong?
I think I need to go ahead and turn in. I've got to catch the train first thing in the morning. Try to call Frank, explain why I'm not in the office.
Of course. I'll phone down and tell the hotel to have a car ready.
Probably have some explaining to Denny, too.
What's that?
Oh, nothing. Just, thank you, Mr. Gregor, for everything.
We hope you've enjoyed tonight's episode of The Black Spectre, A Trail Grown Cold. And now it's time for a secret meeting of the Black Spectre's covert himself. Directly from the Black Spectre. Okay, operatives, do you have a paper and pencil handy for tonight's secret coded message? Here it is. Gypsy, 4, 8, 15, 10, 12, 5, 1, 19, 8, 21, 24, 14, 21, 4, 8, 24, 4, 19, 18. Here it is again. Gypsy, 4, 8, 15, 10, 12, 5, 1, 19, 8, 21, 24, 14, 21, 4, 8, 24, 4, 19, 18. Now you can decode the message with your Black Spectre covertly secret code book. Remember what it says, operatives, and don't tell anyone. The Spectre is depending on you.
And that was Carrie Plowright's Forum Radio Play Contest entry number 4, The Black Spectre, A Trail Grown Cold by Roger Alford. Starring Jay Little as Brent Gregor, the Black Spectre, Terry Crimes as Vicky Rose, and featuring the voice talents of Daphne Trevathan, Michael Bacigalupo, and Tony Bowman. Direction by Michelle Oko. Music by Kevin MacLeod. The Black Spectre series are available for Kindle and paperback on Amazon.com. Learn more at www.blackhoodpress.com.